Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Terminal fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you as usual. Some show notes before we jump into things today. If you're looking for wrestling, you have Bizarro Lucha happening today in Indianapolis, Indiana. You also have PTW in Paris, Kentucky. DOA Pro Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. And Blue Collar Wrestling, like usual on a Sunday in Portland, Oregon, both DOA and BCW featuring Joey Ryan from multiple large promotions today. So if you're in the area and you enjoy the comedic stylings of Joey Ryan, get out there and watch some DOA and or some Blue Collar today. And without further ado, I want to bring our guest on today, one of our favorite guests, back after a few weeks' absence. Karn Alexander, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, fine guy. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on here. And I know that you wanted to come on today because there was a bit of controversy a few weeks ago for the listeners that may not know, on social media, on Fridays, I put up a hashtag BookThemFriday, where I put out there the qualities of wrestlers that promoters and bookers may not know too much about that might want to use. One of those was Scarecrow of HBW. I put it out there hoping people would give him a look, maybe help him get a few more bookings, and things kind of exploded. There was a bunch of controversy that I never intended, never expected, and was surprised to see. You wanted to discuss what happened with it, so I'm going to give you the open platform to do so.
Yeah, it was a little while back, but it's something that's been seen quite often, where wrestlers will, for some reason or not, tear each other apart on social media, for lack of a better term, for things such as, well, in this instance, I guess the guy thought it was a flawed gimmick. And the reason he was not for Scarecrow's gimmick was because Scarecrow, as we talked about on the thread, uses the symbol for the rapper Boondocks on his tights, and I guess he does the face paint and stuff. Yeah, I'm also not too familiar with Scarecrow myself, but I am familiar with the situation because, like I said, it happens often. And the guy's argument was one of saying, hey, you should, you know, do your own thing, you shouldn't take other people's stuff, this and that. And I think at least my argument to this guy, which I didn't put too much into it because I wanted to, like, sit back and see how it played out, but my argument was more for, you know, finding inspiration and stuff. Scarecrow got on and was saying, hey, it's just, you know, just for now, this is something I'm trying out. The rapper knew about it, said it was awesome. There was really no flaws until this guy decided to say that he was right, and no matter what. Basically, I guess his ideals are that no one should draw any sort of inspiration from anything outside of their own creativity as far as using other symbols and such. And I just want to say that I quite disagree with that. Like, my own experience, and while I didn't use a specific symbol or anything, Cody Carnage, my original character, was derived from Carnage, the comic book character, where my mannerisms and color patterns and such were quite similar to that of the Cletus Cassidy and Carnage character. So, yeah, it was just kind of a little upsetting seeing, I believe he was another wrestler, or at least involved in the wrestling business somehow, two people in the same business kind of going at it in a situation that really did not need to happen, in my opinion.
I would agree with you there, and as Scarecrow stated in that thread, you know, he got actual permission from the guy to do what he was doing. It was known by the parties involved. Nobody had a problem with it. And then people unassociated with Scarecrow or any promotion that he works for had a problem with it, which, as you were saying, is a little bit ridiculous because it didn't involve anyone or anything to do with the people that had a problem with it. They got very angry for seemingly no reason whatsoever.
Right, and it's just, sometimes I feel, especially for some reason with the entertainment business, people just want to be arguing about something all the time, especially on social media. I don't know, just to get attention or find something to grab onto to get their kicks, I suppose. But it always seems like a lot of times in the wrestling business that happens, like I said, in situations like this. I don't know. I was very much on the side of Scarecrow for sure, because I don't know. I didn't know Doki Key did it too often, but Boondocks was for a time billed as a wrestler for JCW and was Too Tough Tony's tag team partner. And Tony, if anyone knows Tony, he's a great guy. He, I don't know if he still does, but he used to always come out with a Boondocks jersey. So I also saw, in a sense, that if he was still wrestling, that may have been a problem. But at the same time, like you said, and like he stated, he got permission to do it from said person. So again, the problem was kind of null and void.
Too Tough Tony actually wrestled many times for Hoosier Pro Wrestling, which is where Scarecrow wrestled on a very regular basis most of his career, and that's where the Scarecrow gimmick started. So they definitely came into contact as well, and I know Scarecrow, very, very respectful guy, probably did it out of respect and had the permission to do it. So everything I think was done on the up and up, and I didn't mean to start a floodgate of controversy, although that sometimes happens to me. But that totally caught me off guard, that people that would have never come into contact not only with Scarecrow but none of the promotions where he worked had a problem with it. Scarecrow actually in the last few years has wrestled for lots more promotions than he ever had before. The Scarecrow gimmick is extremely popular. He sells a lot of merchandise, and he changed up the look just for that reason, so he didn't tread completely on another guy's look. It was much more of his own thing than the picture I had initially used. Scarecrow has had a lot of success with it, and the blessing was given, so I say good on Scarecrow. I mean, like you said, you did an homage yourself early in your career, and I think most wrestlers at some point do homages to not only other wrestlers, but to large portions of the entertainment business. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One that comes to mind, which I'm sure nobody would, say anything to about being, ripping him off, would be Honky Tonk Man versus Elvis Presley. Like, that's clearly his thing, but, is a fan going to go up and be like, hey, you're not allowed to do that because that's Elvis Presley? No. So why are they, I don't understand why some people are going out to these indie wrestlers who are using their inspirations as kind of like a catalyst to come into their own and, use it as, like you said, a starting point and kind of going from there and gaining their own success later on. It's just, I don't know, it's a ridiculous situation to me that goes on far too often.
Absolutely. In a couple of cases in point, Hulk Hogan had to pay royalties to Marvel for years because of using the name The Incredible Hulk Hogan. He played up off the, at the time, extremely popular Incredible Hulk television series, and that's where his early ring name came from, and he had to pay the royalties to Marvel for that. And WCW introduced a gimmick called Arachnaman, which was a slightly different colored costume for Spider-Man. They actually were sued by Marvel and had to cease and desist with that, but even major promotions do homages to other forms of entertainment, which is the point I was trying to make. It's not just on the independents, but you don't see large-scale social media assaults of other independent wrestlers bashing these guys for having done such things. You know, never see people bashing Hulk Hogan for the fact that he got his early ring name from a very popular TV show.
Right, and that's some of the things that, like, talent scouts and people in the back, like, look for is, like, a character. Like, and a lot of times they want it to relate to something in real life that people can kind of latch on to. Like, I know, like, when Jersey Shore was popular, there was a whole bunch of Jersey Shore gimmicks that came out, and it was recognizable. That's why it, you know, did so well, because people already knew it before they actually knew the wrestler. They knew the character. And that's some, you know, that's some theory or some strategy in drawing crowds or getting popularity, is by using a character or persona who, you know, is already recognizable, even though you yourself may not be known.
Absolutely. Hopefully, even with a flood of negativity and angry comments, Scarecrow picked up a few extra bookings off that and is doing well. I know he wrestles in quite a few places now, and seemingly his career was not hurt a bit by that. Looks like he's still doing well, so hopefully this is a happy ending to this story.
Yeah, it's good. I'm happy for him. I mean, usually those.
Maybe at some point, sometime, we'll see a Karn Alexander versus Scarecrow tag team match.
Oh, you never know. I mean, every now and then I do a match here or there, so we'll see if that's in the future. But like I'll say, normally those situations on social media don't. I've never seen anything ever really bad come from it. All the guy did was, I mean, boost the dude's popularity, because now, you know, me and you were talking about it on internet radio. So there you go.
Absolutely. Well, in a little bit happier news, if we may, you, like you said, wrestle every once in a while, do the occasional show here and there. One of the shows upcoming in the next couple of weeks is a benefit show for one of the promotions where you frequented, Supreme Wrestling. Billy Mattern, one of your old tag team partners, holding a benefit for his late uncle to try to raise funds to help his family with final costs and the expense of moving forward. Have you heard much about the benefit show coming up? And is something like a benefit show one of the occasions that potentially could lure you back into the ring?
I have actually not heard of this. It's the first first I'm actually hearing of it from you, but I do know those guys in Supreme Wrestling. I worked for them for many years, and I would say, yeah, a lot of times, well, not a lot, since I haven't done many matches in Samaritan Tournament, but there have been times that I have come back or have been in talks because of benefit shows. As you know, just a special appearance or, you know, back for one special match. Those would be types of things that I would do, like one-off shows. It would be difficult for me to, like, jump into a storyline and, you know, just have one match and, you know, leave like an irregular show, but for a benefit show, it's pretty easy to just be billed on there as a one-time guest and go help out. And I obviously, even like now, and I always have done the benefit shows for free, because obviously I want the funding to go to whatever the benefit is. But yeah, that would definitely be something, possibly not this time because it seems like it's coming up pretty soon, but eventually in the future, if somebody, one of the promotions that I was really popular with back when I was wrestling full-time, wanted a special guest benefit show, that would absolutely be something that I would be doing or would be possible to do.
Looking at the landscape of things as they are right now, would you yourself ever consider promoting a benefit show if there was some sort of need that arose in the community, or for you personally, is promoting a one-off show something that you would consider or even have considered previously?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going down that road. That would be a good experience to have, to promote my own show and do all the legwork, mostly myself, and come up with the matches and so on and so forth. I would say that I would probably need a really good reason to do that. Like, it would probably be more like a long-term endeavor, like something that I would probably put together over a year or so, and the benefit would have to be something pretty substantial. Now, it would be like easier if like somebody like in a partnership or something like wanted me to work with them on something like that, then yeah, absolutely. But I don't have like a whole lot of promoting skills or experience, so I would probably want someone there with me to help me along through it.
I would send a resume your way to get considered to be booked on such a benefit should it happen to arise in the future.
Okay, that sounds good.
One of the things that a lot of wrestlers have done in their careers when they no longer can wrestle full-time or they no longer have the interest in wrestling full-time is commentary. It requires a very different type of skill set to be successful as a wrestling commentator as opposed to an in-ring wrestler. Many great wrestlers have failed at commentary because they just didn't possess that type of skill set that was needed. You have a different background than a lot of professional wrestlers, where you have an acting and drama background to fall upon to help you in that role. Is commentary something that you ever considered or maybe got approached to do by a promotion?
I've never been approached to do it, but I have done like some special guest spots on commentary, like during some of my more major runs with titles and stuff. I would every now and then commentate, you know, on my rivals' matches or something. But recently there is somewhere that I went back to just to visit and did a little bit of commentary for some of the dark matches, just for the hell of it. And it was really fun. It was interesting now having the skills of more improv and acting, being able to work alongside a couple people instead of just one other person is a little more difficult. But it's definitely something that I would consider if I was ever offered, you know, like hypothetically a job from WWE because they need commentators. I would definitely, it would be something that I would for sure jump on and, you know, do for at least a period of time. It probably wouldn't be something that I can't see myself doing it forever, but it would definitely be a fulfilling job that I would take part in for at least a little while, for sure.
You mentioned WWE, and you do have several past WWE appearances in extra roles. You've been on their television quite a few times. Can you take the listeners through what a typical day for an extra might entail?
A lot of times it's different depending on the needs they have as far as what extra work is available. But every time I've been there, there's been usually 2 days. They'll do a Raw and then SmackDown. And you'll go both days to two cities that are pretty close together. And on one day, you will do an in-ring, about 5-minute tryout match with another extra there. And they'll give you a little bit of time to go over it, and then you get in the ring and you do your match. And then after everyone does their matches, usually we'll sit around with some of the scouts, and they'll give you feedback and talk to you and, like, give you an idea of what it's like in the day of a WWE wrestler and what kind of responsibilities they have. So you get a lot of inside information like that on the first day. And then usually the second day you do a promo segment. So go into the actual promo room. They put you in front of the camera. They tape it so they can look back on it. You do a promo. They'll give you adjustments. They might throw something completely different at you just to see what you can do. And then, you know, both nights you watch the shows. If there's anything they need done, they'll pick from the extras. Like if they need security. There was a time I was planting the crowd to make sure that people were out of the way for one of the moves that were being done on the barrier. Stuff like that. Then there's, like, bigger, when they have bigger gimmicks and stuff. Like when they had Adam Rose, there was, like, 20 extras there that would, you know, all get in costumes. Yeah, that's kind of the gist of the day as an extra in WWE. It's pretty awesome because you get paid for it. But
how is the catering?
Oh, the catering is great. I guess I forgot to mention that. It's just, they have everything there. If you want something, they probably have it. It's just always, like, in the room. You can go in whenever you have time off and get whatever you want. And you just got to make sure that you know, respectful of all the actual superstars. Usually you're told to sit, you know, at a certain location with the extras and, you know, don't talk to people unless you're talked to first, because not because they're, you know, they don't like us or anything, but just because it's like they have a lot going on and just be respectful. But there have been a lot of times where a lot of superstars who've been eating catering, they come up and sat down with us and have conversations. And The Miz is one of the cool guys. He always likes talking with the extras. But yeah, it's a pretty awesome experience. So I suggest anybody who is able to definitely jump on that if you have the opportunity.
In your career, you worked in a wide variety of promotions, and you come across a lot of people in those promotions. One of the more underrated jobs in wrestling oftentimes is that of the referee. A lot of times the referee can help a bad match be a little bit better. A bad referee can hurt a good match and make it much worse. You've been in there with a lot of different referees in your career. Who would you say were some of the better ones that you came across?
Definitely, like, right off the top of my head, I knew him right when he came to OVW. Package was sharp. Was definitely one of the best referees that I've ever had in my matches. Jason Ayers is another one. While I didn't work with him a lot, I did get to work with him at Supreme Wrestling in Madison a little bit, and he was an amazing individual. You as well, you were very... You have very good in-ring awareness, and that's a lot of what it takes. But I'd say those are probably my top three.
I'm in pretty good company then.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Another thing that a lot of wrestlers oftentimes don't appreciate until they do it is how hard it is to wear a mask in wrestling. Masked wrestlers oftentimes lose peripheral vision. It becomes extremely hot. It becomes hard to breathe. They still have to go out there and wrestle 5, 10, 20 minutes, whatever it is, sometimes more than that, while wearing this mask and trying to overcome the lack of peripheral vision and the lack of ability to breathe and the increased heat. Did you ever wear a mask at all during your career?
There was one time that I wore a mask. As just like, I had never, I was starting indies and I didn't want to use my Cody Carnage character just yet, so I wore a mask and like long sleeves and everything to hide who I was. But it was a pretty, it was just like a standard luchador mask. But for me, I didn't really have that much of a problem with it because the eyes weren't like covered or anything like that, and they were pretty open. But I have, you know, there have been people I know, like I had a friend that did a Sonic gimmick that had the like mesh covering for the eyes, and he, I don't know how much trouble he had with it, but he would always, to see, but it would always like come loose and stuff, so he would always have to be adjusting it every now and then. But yeah, I've not had too much experience with masks myself, but I mean, they can make or break a character, and I guess if, you know, you're used to it and it's worth wearing, then you wear the mask.
On the flip side of that, did you ever have an opponent that was masked that seemed to be trouble wearing it? Did you have people that would blow up during the course of a match wearing the mask, or did you have guys that would have the mask turn on them to obscure their vision, things like that?
Yeah, like I said, there was times with like when Sonic, who like the mask would like kind of get messed up, and he would have to go into a hold or something, and he would have to fix it. But that was kind of a rare situation. Other than that, I can't really think of any examples that really stick out to me.
At this point in time, QT Vokes is standing by, and as you know, things should be interesting. I'm going to pass things over to QT.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Karn. Welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, QT?
I'm doing very good, very good. I saw your YouTube video against Rasheed Brown. Do you remember this wrestling match against Rasheed Brown?
Yeah, I remember.
It seemed like you had several accompaniments, I should use the modern moniker, a posse with you. Yes, a posse, to use the street term.
Yeah, I did. Good old RWE.
Well, who was your manager at that time?
That would be Robbie Rush.
Oh, Robbie Rush. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now this match took place in a mostly all-white building. If you looked at the sides of the building, it looked like it was undergoing construction, and this had glaring white paneling and a whole bunch of overhead lights. It looked like you were wrestling in an eggshell.
Well, that does happen sometimes.
Yes, I was reminded of what it must have been to the gobbledygooker when he was inside that egg. Do you remember that seminal moment in WWE history?
That one I can't say that I do, but I'm certain it is. It was probably quite similar.
You never saw the gobbledygooker incident on WWE?
I don't, actually.
Oh,
it might have been before my time when I started watching.
Wow, this is huge. Okay, I am going to assign you the homework assignment. Karn Alexander, look up the gobbledygooker on WWE.
All right, I'll do that.
This is going to be very good. It involves Mean Gene Okerlund, of course, and Jesse the Body Ventura. I think it's a Thanksgiving turkey that pops out of an egg. This is going to be huge.
Okay.
And can you please send us your comments on the seminal moment in WWE history to Sangai or myself? Sangai.
I will do that as soon as possible.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, now getting back to Rasheed Brown, it was one of those rare videos where both wrestlers, you and Rashid, wore trunks that were emblazoned with not exactly advertisement, but Rashid had Skull Crusher on his. Apparently, he is part of a tag team that had the longest running streak in WA history, tag team with victories. I guess they were called the Skull Crushers. Can you confirm this? Skull Crushers.
Yeah, absolutely. That was his tag team for a very long time.
Oh, okay. Well, you also had a skull on yours, but it didn't say Crusher. My question is, have you ever heard of a wrestler named Crusher Khrushchev? That's what I'm getting at, Crusher Khrushchev.
No, I've never heard of them before, actually.
Oh, both Sign Guy and myself have Russian Wrestler Week a month coming up next month, where we interview wrestlers of Russian descent. I don't believe we have Crusher Khrushchev on, but, I'm going to say do your gobbledygooker homework assignment first, and then you might look up Crusher Khrushchev, maybe, if you have time.
All right, sounds good.
Oh, okay. Well, that, you know, I've got to hand it to you, Karn. That's the first time I ever saw two wrestlers in the ring at the same time with skulls on their trunks. Yes.
Are you serious? Because there's a lot of skulls out there.
Really? But not in the ring at the same time. Do you yourself recall ever seeing a wrestling match not involving yourself where the wrestlers had two skulls on their trunks, or for that matter, maybe the Roadrunner or Yosemite Sam, or like a Nike swoosh stripe?
Now that I think about it, I actually can't, not off the top of my head anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. I'll have to get together with Sign Guy and see how many times this has happened. Like, I don't know, in Hoosier Pro Wrestling history or other history. Two trunks with
right.
The same emblem. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Karn, one thing I also noticed is that you had jet black wrestling boots for this match while Rashid Brown had on white. This reminds me of our guest on the Friday show. I informed him that Mad Magazine was going out of business. My question is, were you a big fan of Spy versus Spy?
Not a big fan, but it was good. I enjoyed it when I saw it.
Oh, okay. If you yourself ever got into the wrestling ring, say at a charity event for Halloween, and you were dressed up as the Black Spy, who would be the best wrestler out there that could counteract you as a White Spy?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. Mainly because I don't know who was all still wrestling, but I do know that back in the day, my rival was Brent Garner, who also went as Fang or Raphael Constantine in OVW. So I guess if he was willing to break out the boots again, then that'd be a good choice.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, Karn, at the 8 minute and 17 mark, you got back into the ring after being hit with a chair by Rashid outside the ring. And indeed, you were hit in the rare instance while lying on a table. At this point, after you got back into the ring, you offered to let Rashid join your clan that had accompanied you to the ring, one of which was, of course, your manager. You said that your team had all the money in the world. My question is, were you going to buy Rashid's services with gold bullion, silver, Bitcoin, or a cold hard stash of Benjamins?
Well, normally I don't take care of the finances in the group, but if I had to make an educated guess, it would probably be the Benjamins.
Whoa, cold hard cash. Very good. Yes, I hear Bitcoin is going through quite a bit of trouble right now. Yes, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I'm just of the opinion that many of the wrestlers out there would probably not would probably reject the offer of Bitcoin to join the clan or another clan. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Karn, at the 12:13 mark, he had a very loud knife-edged chop against you, and another one at the 12:24 mark that made you fall to your knees. This led to a vertical suplex at the 12:40 mark, or what I interpret as a vertical suplex. My question is, do you think that Spike Dudley or Paul Orndorff would have had more power in their knife-edge chops if they were the same age as Rashid?
That's also a tough one. I would say probably so. I mean, they were, if I remember correctly, they were pretty tough. So yeah.
Well,
yeah, I'd say they, yeah.
Well, especially Paul Orndorff. He always had Hulk Hogan's back. Yes, always.
Yeah.
Now, in your career, did you ever tag team with a Paul Orndorff like character who always had your back?
Tag team. I don't believe I had anything like that. I mostly did singles. No, I never really had much of a tag team style wrestling career.
Okay, then it's safe to say that you never had an established lady partner as a tag team partner.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Karn, Sign Guy mentioned Bizarro Lucha in our warm-up show notes. How do you think Rashee Brown would do in the Bizarro Lucha format?
I think Rashee Brown could do pretty well in almost any format that he wrestled in. He's pretty tough.
Okay.
At least he wasn't where I wrestled him.
Okay. Well, Karn, you earlier mentioned Too Tough Tony and a Boondock jersey earlier to Sign Guy. My question is, what is a Boondocks jersey?
A Boondocks jersey is, well, are you familiar with the rap group Insane Clown Posse?
I am not.
Okay. Well, basically, their record label, Psychopathic Records, comes out with jerseys that are merchandise, and they put each band's symbol on the jersey, and Boondocks has his own jersey, and Too Tough Tony often wears Boondocks jerseys to the ring.
Oh, is this anything like the starter jackets of the early to mid-90s?
I think it's a little different.
Okay. Oh, all right.
But
because it was
similar concept.
There was a music video put out quite some time ago called Starter Jacket. And in this rock video, it showed a bunch of kids going around with starter jackets featuring their favorite sports teams. However, when they were stopped on the street and asked about peculiars and statistics about the teams that they were wearing on their starter jackets, almost all of them could only name one person that was on that team. And the juxtaposition of this video was the kids were just posers in these jackets that they knew nothing about, like their sports teams. Starter jackets.
Makes sense. I'll look that one up, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, your homework assignment, the gobbledygooker and the music video starter jacket, you're starting to get a lot of homework assignments.
Yeah, I'm going to be busy this next week, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, when you did mention that Boondocks jersey, for a moment there, I was thinking that I may have saw a comic strip called Boondocks. Isn't there a comic strip out there called Boondocks?
There's a TV show called Boondocks. I think it's on like Adult Swim or something. But Boondocks, the rapper spells his name with an X. Boondocks,
oh.
The TV show is CK.
Oh, all right. Okay. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Karn, you got the win over Rashi, but it appeared like your manager and your crew were using leverage on your legs to help you. Now, can you for the Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that might be tuning in a little bit late to the show, can you again name your manager at this point and the three other people that were with you? The three other people.
Well, Rodney Rush was the manager. I believe Kenneth James. There were so many different people in that group, depending on the promotion, so I don't know the other two, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Well, Karn, Sign Guy said in a Sign of the Times that you have the reputation of eating like a billy goat but not gaining any weight. Is this true?
Yeah, it still pretty much holds true. I do more cardio now, though, to keep up with it, but yeah, it's still pretty accurate.
Wow, all right. How much would it mean to you if you were in a late 2019 Sign of the Times, just in time for the holidays? How much would this mean to you, Sign of the Times?
That would be pretty amazing.
Oh, okay. Well, Karn, what was your tag team named when you teamed with Billy Mattern? Your tag team name?
I believe it was a short-lived tag team, but I think it was the Misfits was kind of what we were loosely billed as.
The Misfits. Okay. Did you have any title matches?
No, not that I can recall.
Oh, okay.
We came close, but like I said, it was kind of a short-lived gimmick.
Okay, all right. Well, Karn, Sign Guy mentioned sending a resume your way at the 1 minute and 17 mark of this interview. What do you think Sign Guy would list under his hobbies or extracurricular activities or community involvement? What do you think Sign Guy would put?
I guess I kind of see him as a board game guy, maybe. Possibly, you know, I'm guessing he goes to the gym at least occasionally, since he is in the athletic business of sports entertainment. Let's see, what else? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Board games and gym, I guess. I guess that's all I really shows how much I know about him, I suppose.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, he does go to a local fairly high-class tea place in the Seattle area. You know, I don't know if you could list that under hobbies or extracurricular activities, but they do have a good selection of tea. Yes.
That's, yeah. I'm guessing
okay.
that would be something me and him have in common. Yeah, definitely tea. So I suppose you could do us up.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have Sign Guy put that on his resume. Tea consumer, yes, of high quality. Okay. Well, Karn, both Sign Guy and myself went to a WWE Tribute to the Troops match at McCord Air Force Base in very cold weather. This was like about 4 or 5 years ago. Now, during intermission, Master Puppeteer and Ventriloquist Jeff Dunham entertained the troops. My question is, are you a big fan of Jeff Dunham and his puppets like Ahmed the Terrorist, the Cranky Old Man, and the dull-witted peanut.
I haven't watched much of Jeff Dunham, but I have seen different clips and videos online and such, and I do think he's super talented. I wouldn't call myself a huge fan, like I said, but I do respect the craft for sure, and he is very entertaining.
Okay. How do you think you would do in an animated match against Ahmed the Terrorist, if you could have an animated match against him?
Well, hopefully I'd win, but I feel like me and Ahmed the Terrorist would both be somewhat of cheaters. At least that's, you know, what I'm kind of known for. So I don't know. It would be hilarious, that's for sure. And it would be fun. So yeah, I'd go for it, I guess.
Oh, okay. I only bring this question up because another seminal moment in WWE history occurred on Monday Night Raw when the Muppet Show hosted Monday Night Raw, the Muppets. And there was a segment where Beaker, backstage, I believe, yes, he ran into Chris Jericho. Beaker, do you remember this?
Yeah,
I do.
Vaguely.
Yes, I think Chris Jericho, he had Beaker drink this potion or something like that, a potion. It was very funny.
Gotcha. Yeah. I vaguely remember that for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, Karn, did I hear right when you told Sign Guy that you had a drama or acting background?
Yeah, I do. I actually have my undergrad degree now in acting.
Whoa, wow, okay. Now, what school did you go to get this degree?
I went to Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana.
Wow, Ball State. Now, wasn't there a talk show host that went to Ball State?
Yeah, David Letterman.
Yeah, David Letterman. Wow. All right, my question is, on Ball State University, do they have a section where they have famous alumni?
They have the Alumni Center, which basically is a place that deals with that kind of stuff. There are, like, I think, yearly events with alumni and such where people come back and visit. David Letterman has been there probably more often than other alumni because he has the David Letterman building and the whole TCOM department is basically his doing. But yeah, there are events and such like that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, now, did you ever appear in the Shakespearean classic A Midsummer Night's Dream?
I did not appear in that one. I have, however, been in Macbeth and A Winter's Tale.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right. Well, did you ever see the movie Billy Madison?
I did, yeah.
How did you like his decathlon competition where he did Shakespeare?
It was pretty good. I love Adam Sandler's definitely a hell of a comedian, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, Karn, for our record, I keep a book of the people we interview, what their high school mascot was and what their colors were. For the record, can you join this elusive club in telling our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your high school mascot was and what the colors were?
Sure. My high school mascot was a tiger, and the colors were purple and gold.
Oh, that's pretty basic. Okay.
Yeah.
Purple and gold, very nice. Okay. What was your mascot at Ball State?
Ball State was a cardinal.
Cardinal, okay. And your colors?
Yeah. Red and white.
Red and white. Oh, this is huge.
Yep.
Because in all the wrestlers we interviewed, I think it's very rare, or you're probably the first one to have a high school mascot listed and the colors, and also at the university level. This is very good.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Well, Karn, at this point, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. I wish you well in your gobbledygooker homework assignment, and please get back
all
to
right.
us with your questions. Yes.
Yeah, will do. You have a good one.
Okay. Back to you, Sangay.
Thank you, QT. Karn, like we discussed earlier, you've been to a lot of places, and every time you go on the road to a new promotion, you never know what to expect. That includes the actual ring itself. Some promotions have really, really nice rings, high-quality ones. Other rings are pretty much death traps. What would you say would have been the worst ring that you had to perform in?
I think it may have been this one that was a show at a indoor flea market, it seemed. There was just, like, boards missing out of it, and it was the ropes were not, we made spots to not hit the ropes, basically. It was not good. So that would probably, that's the one that sticks out in my mind as probably the worst.
Was I there?
I don't think so. I don't think you were at that one.
Okay.
This was a little earlier on in my career.
Gotcha, okay. Now, we, of course, did a loop together in Kentucky, and one of the shows that we were on together was Pro Wrestling Freedom in Corbin, Kentucky. Some of the talent they had on that show have gone on to do absolutely incredible things. There were guys there like Jason Kincaid of Dragon Gate USA and DDT in Japan. You had Gregory Iron, who's huge name on the independent circuit. Alex Zane, who's become a huge independent star, wrestles all over the country now. You had Mickey Knuckles on there. You had so many great pieces of talent. I believe it was Jake Crisp that was on there, who's now with Impact Wrestling. Looking back at the show PWF, how nice of an experience was it for you wrestling on a show that had that much talent and one of the better venues I at least have been in, the Civic Center there in Corbin?
Yeah, that was definitely one of the greatest indie experiences I've had. It's so great to have independents that can bring in all these different styles and all these, you know, different athletes and superstars from, you know, different locations and put them all in one place, because it's just like for like people like me at the time and younger kids, it's just like a wealth of knowledge. I don't know the exact people I talked to when I was there at this point, but I know that like any time that I would, when I was wrestling with them, I would do independent and meet new people, or there would be a new star, I would try to talk with them as much as possible and get as much advice and learn as much. And that's just that's the beauty of like PWF and indies like that, that have those opportunities for younger guys to work with these superstars on the indies, or, you know, superstars to be, and get experience through just sitting with them and talking, and as well as the in-ring experience that they get to work with. So it's just, yeah, it's overall like a great experience, and I know that it helped me a lot to kind of get some stuff in perspective as far as like what it takes to be an actual independent star in the wrestling industry from a lot of people that I talked with there.
Now, you were familiar with a lot of the people there, I know. You'd worked with a lot of them previously. But out of the people that were there that you didn't know, have you followed some of the progresses that they have made? Have you seen some of the good things that some of the talents from that show went on to do?
I don't like specifically really follow any one person or individuals, but I do often get updates and stuff and steps updates on Facebook with a lot of the wrestlers I used to work with in the past. So I will stay in the loop. You mentioned them earlier, but Gregory Iron's one of the ones that I often see, and this is just because he probably posts more often than most other people, but just the journey that that guy has went on is just impressive. It's quite amazing the things that he's done and achieved and where he's come from. But yeah, I would say I try to stay up to date with as many people as possible. It's just it's also very time consuming, and a lot of my new career acting takes a lot of my time, so it's difficult to really stay in touch with people per se, like I said. But through social media and stuff, I get to kind of try to keep up with them and see what everyone's doing.
Did you ever get that singles match with Gregory Iron?
No. No, I didn't. See, that would be one that I would come back for sure. You got to pay him back.
Perhaps on a benefit show that I'm booked to be on, perhaps to manage Gregory Iron.
Maybe. You never know. Let's see if you can set it up, and I'll be there.
All right. Now, there's also a wrestler out of Kentucky. I don't know if you came across him or not, but there's a guy doing a lot of big things down there named Nate Cross. He does a rock and roll gimmick. Did you ever get the chance to come across Nate Cross or his manager, Delilah?
I cannot say that I have, honestly. It does not, from here right now, ring a bell.
Fair enough. Well, we got just a few minutes left, and I want to give you plenty of time as we wrap up to say anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you would like. Floor is all yours.
I guess I would just like to say thanks to any fans listening that are a fan of me, whether that be current in my acting career or just past in wrestling. Definitely, as far as wrestling goes, keep supporting independents. That's where all the talent comes from. So definitely do that. Go to your local independents if you can. Watch independents online. Do everything you can to support that way. Also, for those in Louisville, Kentucky, definitely check out OVW. They're doing some big things there. So definitely hit that up as well.
Well, Karn Alexander, as normal, it has been a pleasure to have you on again. I'm sure we'll do this again in the near future. And best of luck to you on the acting. I know you're doing great things there. And apologies in advance if I have to do something underhanded when I get the chance to manage Gregory Iron on the independent benefit show with you as his opponent.
That's completely understandable. I'll be looking forward to it.
Well, call it revenge for poking me in my eye.
Yeah, I did do that. I admit.
You really did. It hurt. All right, fans, if you get the chance, definitely check out Karn Alexander. He doesn't wrestle often anymore, so if he's on a show near you, go out there, buy a ticket, don't hesitate, see what he does. Very, very good performer, and if you get the chance, go watch him in some acting, be it a play, be it television, whatever he's doing out there, support it. We'll be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have from Wrestle Club, Mr. Hickman, and then a week from today, from up in Alaska, we have the current NSA champion, Stephen Wolf, with us. It's going to be a great week next week. We'll talk to you then.
Once a man is glad, you smoke like your grandmother. 200 acres down, and there's no way.